Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. On October 23rd of last year, the second largest gas storage facility in the United States, located in Porter Ranch, Southern California, began to leak. Massive amounts of methane gas has been escaping uncontrolled, not too far from KPFK studios. The Aliso Canyon storage facility is owned and operated by the Southern California Gas Company, which is a subsidiary of Sempra Energy. Immediately after the leak began, residents complained of health problems. Thousands have been displaced. Earlier this year, Governor Jerry Brown declared a state of emergency over the leak, which continues unabated. The carbon footprint of the gas leak is considered larger than the Deepwater Horizon spill, as methane is a powerful greenhouse gas, about 80 to 90 times more potent at trapping heat than carbon dioxide. Meanwhile, residents in and around the Porter Ranch area have been organizing and speaking out. They are demanding that the gas company shut down the facility altogether. Joining me in studio this morning is Matthew Pacuco. He's a resident of Porter Ranch, California, and the president and co-founder of Save Porter Ranch. Also, Alexandra Nagy, an organizer with Food and Water Watch, which has been very active on the issue. Good morning, Matthew and Alex.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, Alex, let me start with you. In terms of the impact to the area locally, this is an issue that began in October. However, news didn't emerge and alarm bells didn't ring till quite a bit later. What took authorities so long to respond?
I think there was a big issue with residents smelling the gas, and obviously it was a really huge problem, big enough where we had to call 911 to report it, and fire departments in the air district confirmed, yes, there's this gas leak going on at the facility, but when we would call the gas company, when we would call our elected officials, they would say nothing is wrong. And in fact, elected officials would redirect constituents who were calling to the gas company, and the gas company would call you back. So they had a lockdown on the message saying there's nothing wrong, nothing to see. Here we had to organize protests outside the gate to get the media involved to expose what was really happening. Within the first week of the leak, we saw residents getting very, very ill. So obviously there was a big problem. It took a month of organizing and exposing the mercaptan, which is the odorant added to the gas that's been causing a lot of the health problems, and exposing the health symptoms to get the county health department to declare that the gas company needed to relocate people who wanted to be relocated for free. And once you saw that, and once you saw hundreds of residents applying to be relocated, I think our politicians started to pay attention and started to throw their hat into the ring, because it was politically necessary for them at that point to look like they were doing something.
It was unavoidable at that point.
Matt, you live in Porter Ranch. How has this leak impacted you? What has life been like since October?
Well, I'm out of my house, and my business is pretty much shut down because it's in my house. So
you have a home-based business.
I do music production. My studio is there. So I
hardly go
there.
When did you first begin noticing that there was an issue?
When I went out Saturday night after it started, after a session, me and the client walked outside, and it was like, bam, what the hell is going on? Well, I knew what was going on.
You knew what was going on?
Oh, yeah. We've been studying the gas facility since April of 2014.
How come?
Because Save Porter Ranch was started to look at Termo Oil Company, which was trying to drill 12 more oil wells. And then we found out through interfacing with the neighbor, with all the neighbors, residents, that they've been having all these same health issues that are reported right now, widespread. They've been having that for years, even decades, before there was any so-called leak. And they've been smelling gas and oil in their yards for years. So
this is a culmination of a problem that's been going on for a very long time?
Well, this is just the one big one that they couldn't get away with hiding.
Because it was a big leak as opposed to maybe a possible seeping.
Yeah.
So what has the response been from state authorities and the gas company? I understand there have been several attempts, Alex, to actually close the leak. And it's kind of difficult to access the Aliso Canyon Reserve. It's in the mountains, and they've been trying to pour slurry into the holes. How have those efforts been going?
So the gas company has tried seven different times to, quote, kill the well, which means stop the leak. And that slurry that they've been pumping in has caused more problems than it's been helping. On November 13th, there was a backflow of that slurry that caused an oily mist, and SoCalGas sent a robocall to the community saying, stay indoors, there's an oily mist. Don't worry, it's safe. And then we've seen in the recent LA Times article that One of those attempts to kill the well actually caused severe instability and actually increased the risk of fire and increased the risk of blowout at the top of the well. And Matt talks about how this is actually a gas blowout, but it's at the bottom of the well. And state regulators, and especially Governor Brown, I mean, we were calling on him from day one to get involved, to declare a state of emergency. That's what he did day one after the Santa Barbara oil spill. And we learned about a month in that Governor Brown's sister, Kathleen Brown, sits on the board of Sempra. And Sempra is the parent company for SoCalGas. And it started to make a lot of sense. This is why he's being so silent. This is why he's not even being quoted. And while he's going off to Paris to talk about climate and the negotiations there, he's virtually ignoring this major climate disaster in California. And so he told us, you know, we're not going to declare a state of emergency. And he's a stubborn man. You know, we thought, okay, we really have to put the pressure. So we got elected officials locally to say, you know what, we need this. Governor Brown, do your job, declare a state of emergency. And on the 75th day, that's what he did, but it's not enough. We want the facility closed down permanently.
And let's, in fact, turn to exactly that, Matt. There have been protests. Explain what the community response has been and what the calls to shut it down actually mean.
Well, it's a response that any community would do. They're everyone's sick. They're pushed out of their homes. Kids sick, pets sick. The only sensible response is get rid of the place, because by their own admissions and their own filings with CPUC, they say there's negative well integrity trend, which means the place is deteriorating. They're waiting around for someone else to even pay for the repairs. They wouldn't fix it themselves. So given all that and the way they've managed that place over the years and the state of it, you know, the way everyone's going toward green energy, including the city of L.A., which relies heavily on that facility. It has to be examined, even the necessity of that facility, number one. And number two, why wouldn't you shut something down that's putting people out of their homes and making them sick? What are the choices here? And they say that they've got 115 wells up there, and they're all in similar condition. And they're like, you know, 40...
Any one of them could do the same thing?
40, 50, 60, 70-year-old wells they're using. That's a big problem.
So this could very easily be the first of many future accidents like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the natural gas leak has been spewing out, according to press reports, 110,000 pounds of gas every hour for months. What does it mean, Alex? What role, actually, I should ask you, what role does this facility play in the energy infrastructure of the city of Los Angeles? I mean, and we should mention that natural gas is often touted as a greener alternative to oil and gas.
Yeah, and natural gas really is not a clean bridge fuel like the industry would like us to believe. 90% of this gas in this facility is coming from fracking on the western United States.
So this is a storage facility. When gas is fracked, it's stored in places like this?
Right. It's piped in through a massive network, and then stored in this facility and then pulled out. And about 60% of this gas goes towards electrical generation. And then you see other industry use. And then, of course, you have the gas you use to cook and heat your home. And so this is pretty big. I mean, California has really talked about how great they are because we don't rely on coal so heavily, and natural gas is the clean solution. But when you look at the whole chain, and especially how vulnerable this infrastructure is, anytime a little thing goes wrong, it has the potential to displace thousands. It's very clear that we as ratepayers, and we need to be actively pursuing investing in the clean energy solutions. When a solar panel breaks, it's not going to force thousands to evacuate from their homes. And so, yes, this is a big piece of infrastructure, but we need to look at pushing our elected officials, especially since we're going 50% in California now, that's going to be heavily getting us off of natural gas. We need to force and demand elected officials locally to come up with plans for 100% and work towards shutting this facility down as a first step.
What are the plans that our local listeners in Southern California can get involved in to put that pressure, Matt?
Well, tomorrow there's an air quality board hearing. Currently scheduled to be in Diamond Bar for some reason. They had the first two hearings right here locally, but then for their final deliberation, they moved it way away from where residents can, out of sight. So that's tomorrow morning. We're trying to get it pulled back here, but that's in Diamond Bar for sure. And then on Thursday afternoon, 5 p.m., Porter Ranch Community School, Assemblyman Mike Gatto is holding his version of a, quote, hearing, unquote, just to find out, you know, what you know, residents can speak and tell what has been going on, how it's affected them, and what we want, you know, the state to do.
Now, Matt, you're in the epicenter of this huge disaster.
My house is the closest, pretty much the closest.
What? How do you put what's happening in your community in a national context? How do you see this disaster? Some people are, you know, as I mentioned, the greenhouse gas footprint of this alone rivals the Deepwater Horizon oil spill.
Well, let's just go locally. There's, you know, how many of these facilities around the country? 400 of these facilities around the country, many of them as close to neighborhoods as ours is, and in whatever state of repair or disrepair. So this can happen to anybody.
So, Alex, finally, what needs to happen now? And is there enough awareness even nationally about this issue? This is a Los Angeles issue, but it is of national proportions. What's the next step? And are enough media covering it?
Absolutely. So we'd love to see President Obama declare a national emergency. He just did that over the Flint water situation. And this is, in some cases, worse because you can't see it. And so that's why we've been getting the trouble with the coverage and the attention that we deserve. And so we would love his support with that. We also want Governor Brown to use his full authority to shut the facility down. And it took a lot of pressure just to come out and do that state of emergency. But we would love to work with your listeners about how we can get Governor Brown to do the right thing, protect residents, and move the state to 100% clean energy.
And by the way, we'll be covering the disaster in Flint, Michigan on tomorrow's program. For those of our listeners tuning into KPFA, you'll get to hear it live. For KPFK listeners, Uprising with Sonali is only still on 2 days a week, so you can tune into kpfa.org between 8 and 9 a.m. to hear our live program. I want to thank both of you so much for joining us and actually give out websites for both your organizations, Matt.
SavePorterRanch.com, and you can also find us Facebook/SavePorterRanch.
SavePorterRanch.com, as well as on Facebook. Matt, best of luck to you, your community, your family. And
luck
your, and
has
your
little to do
well.
With it.
Alex, Food and Water Watch's website?
Yeah, foodandwaterwatch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you want to sign our petition to Governor Brown, it's a bit.ly link. So it's bit.ly/shutitalldown.
bit.ly/shutitalldown. And we'll post all of those websites to uprisingwithsonali.com later today. Thanks so much, Matt, Alex.
Thank you, Sonali.
Matt Pakuko is a resident of Porter Ranch, California, president and co-founder of Save Porter Ranch. Alexandra Nagy, an organizer with Food and Water Watch. This is Uprising. When we come back, we'll take a look at the new documentary No Mas Bebes that's airing on PBS on February 1st. Stay tuned.